Hi everyone, welcome to the Value Inspiration Podcast. My name is Ton Dobber and I'm the founder of Value Inspiration. The purpose of my company is to help business software companies rethink what can be to become remarkable again. The goal that I have with this podcast is to inspire new forms of value creation by sharing compelling ideas and stories about the potential that we can unlock when technology and people blend in the right way. So my strong belief is that we can think big, and therefore we should. And doing so will help to create a better world for all of us. And this podcast is all about that. The guest on my podcast today is Stefan Browning, Interim Challenge Director, Next Generation Services at Innovate UK.
Role is to support industry to innovate and thus support economic growth for the country. The basic idea of the program is that artificial intelligence and the increasing use of data will transform every sector of the economy. We were trying to look at areas where the UK had a particular strength, but where there was a risk of AI and data coming in, disrupting that, and meaning that the UK's its own strength would diminish somehow. Ultimately, we have to drive economic growth. But we want to make sure that that economic growth happens as much as possible in a way that is going to help people rather than just be a complete replacement. Yeah. So we are very much looking at that human plus machine approach.
This is Stefan. Stefan holds an MBA from Imperial College and a Bachelor of Science in Electronic Engineering. He spent nearly 20 years working for Philips Semiconductors and NXP, where he held various software engineering, project management, and business management roles. During this time, he formed close collaborations with customers and suppliers to deliver open R&D programs. Today, he is leading the Next Generation Service Program as part of the Industrial Strategy Challenge Fund. This program is aimed at supporting the transformation of the UK's accountancy, insurance, and legal services sector by responsible use of AI and data. And this inspired me, hence I invited Stefan to my podcast. We explore the approach and urgency to transform these three very traditional industries. We address the opportunity this creates and why it is required to take a broader perspective than simply technology. By listening to this interview, you will learn three things. Firstly, why doing things better and faster is not enough to create transformative change and protect competitiveness. Secondly, how technology can be a lever to significantly expand market opportunity by addressing non-customers. And thirdly, what's required to conquer inertia in either a company or a sector to remain relevant. So to get the podcast started, Stefan, can you introduce yourself and tell the audience a bit about how you got into this interesting role at Innovate UK?
So I'm Stefan Browning. I am the Interim Challenge Director for a program called Next Generation Services at Innovate UK. Innovate UK is the national innovation agency for the United Kingdom. Our role is to support industry to innovate and thus support economic growth for the country. The particular program that I'm leading is part of the government's industrial strategy, which was announced back in November 2017. And the basic idea of the program is that artificial intelligence and the increasing use of data will transform every sector of the economy. We don't necessarily know how it will transform that, but we want to focus particularly on accountancy, insurance, and legal services and help them transform, but transform in a responsible way. So considering all the issues that arise around the use of artificial intelligence, like biases in data sets, like ethics, how you use data, whether indeed you have the right to use that data for the purpose you're looking at, what might happen in terms of underemployment of people, how you deal with the training of junior staff to take higher roles in things like a legal firm, all those sorts of softer issues as well as supporting the technical innovation.
Okay. And why exactly insurance, accountancy, and legal? Why those three and not, for example, education, health, and local government?
So we started from a position that we were looking at the UK economy, and the broad economy is built very much on services. So about 80% of our economy is a service economy.
Exactly. But
that's very diverse. So that includes things all the way from the three sectors I've mentioned through to hairdressing and things like that. So we were trying to look at areas where the UK had a particular strength, but where there was a risk of AI and data coming in, disrupting that, and meaning that the UK, its own strength would diminish somehow. So we started engaging with industry, talking to people from many sectors, including these three, but also advertising, retail, those sorts of areas. And really, we came to the conclusion that these sort of professional business services are in a position where they don't really undertake research and development activities. They don't know how to, so they need help in order to do that. And they are also the bedrock of many other parts of industry or the economy. So you can imagine a small business needs legal advice, needs accountancy services, needs insurance, but they don't necessarily go and access those services to the degree they ought to because of price issues or because of not understanding the value that they give. So if we help, for example, the legal services to deliver a more tailored, potentially cheaper service, then the rest of the economy benefits as well, and we can maintain the competitiveness of our own legal, accountancy, and insurance sector.
Okay, interesting. So, because of the history of those industries and not being doing the research and the innovation themselves or driving it themselves, you're creating sort of a hub for that enables to drive the technology with those sectors, to drive the innovation with those sectors.
So we're creating a program of support in terms of financial support to undertake R&D, but also connection to the technology supply side and people that know how to undertake R&D to help them. And there's a basic premise here that over 50% of productivity growth comes from very high R&D intensive activities, right? So there's an underlying, we need to drive the productivity of these services, and the way to do that is to help them actually engage in the R&D activities, particularly around the increasing use of data and broadly artificial intelligence. The other sort of factor in here is if you look at these three sectors, they're all very much focused on human expertise and human activity. So if you think of a legal services firm, even these days, you hear of essentially a large cohort of junior solicitors sitting in a darkened room, going through reams of documents to get the insights out of those documents. Yeah. Or if you think of accountancy, it's similar sort of thing. You have lots of people going through sets of accounts to actually do an audit activity. Since there's that similarity of very much the human intuition, intelligence, there's then the opportunity for learning across those sectors of how you apply a machine intelligence approach in a way that augments those human activities and helps achieve a better result altogether.
Yeah, I see two angles here. On the one hand side, it's using technology to get away with the non-value-adding repetitive tasks. So actually the tasks that no one likes to do, the dull, the dirty, the dangerous tasks, which is typically freeing people up. The other side, I think, is indeed the augmentation angle, whereby technology is used to make that human capital, that human expertise part, stronger. So if you look at how you invest the budget of Innovate UK, do you have special rules around that? Do you have special preferences?
So this program's just starting up, and we're shaping exactly how we're going to assess applications coming in. But essentially, what we do is we run a competitive process where businesses will come forward and say, this is what we want to achieve, this is the commercial opportunity we have, this is how we're going to do it, this is what's innovative about our approach. We will also in there be looking at how they handle the ethics side of things, bias in data, privacy, trust of users, and that whole user design side of things. So in this space, I would say at the moment, there's a lot of people that are looking at AI or machine learning in reality today and going, okay, what can I apply this to? And just plowing ahead and applying the technology without thinking of what the broader consequences are. Yeah. So what we'll be asking people to do is actually think in their application, what are the broader consequences and how am I going to handle that? And we're encouraging them to work very much with not just computer science academia type people, but also the social sciences or the humanities to look at the broader consequences, the challenges to adoption that come from human behavior rather than from the technical challenges.
Yeah, well, that's exactly what I'm aiming for and the reason why I asked the question. Because from that perspective, I sense that you try to steer the technology innovations towards making people better and helping them do more rather than the initiatives where technology is just used for the sake of technology, which leads to, you know, people getting automated out of a job, in essence. Is that correct?
Yes. Ultimately, we have to drive economic growth. But exactly. We want to make sure that economic growth happens as much as possible in a way that is going to help people rather than just be a complete replacement. Yeah. So we are very much looking at that human plus machine approach.
Interesting. Do you have any examples of that? I mean, have you? You said you have a competitive process whereby the companies present their ideas, pitch their ideas. Have you seen a couple of remarkable examples already?
So as I said, we're literally just starting this program, so we haven't had any submissions in yet. We're just setting up today.
All right.
So it'll probably be, I don't know, maybe, well, it'll be late summer by the time we actually see the applications come in, because we'll probably open the competition in early June, and then we'll see, have a period of time where it's open so people can put their submissions together, and then we'll be seeing them late summer.
Yeah, good. Yeah, I realize the organization is quite new, but and that's also why I was interested to speak to you to understand what this is all about, because I think it's a good initiative that government is taking ownership here in order to steer these things in the right way. Because there are indeed scenarios whereby, especially for example in legal, it could be that in a couple of years' time we're talking to a legal advisor bot. There's no one behind it anymore, and yeah, the legal industry is ending up like the taxi industry will likely end up, an industry where people don't do the majority of the things anymore, the majority of the work anymore. I was actually talking to an entrepreneur from San Francisco a couple of months ago that was working on a platform that was essentially, he called it a viral business platform, and a platform that could do all the work, kind of get the work, plan the work, execute on the work, and deliver the work without any human being involved from a perspective of a physical organization. That's exactly what could happen to an insurance, accountancy, and legal. So it's from my perspective, very good, the initiative that's there. So what do you put in place?
There is also, just on that point, there is also a counterpoint that if you can automate parts of the activity or even complete service areas, you can bring the sort of price of those services down and expand the market. So very much today, if you think of an individual citizen, it's very rare to go and get legal advice, right?
True.
But that doesn't mean that people don't need that legal advice in some situations, or similarly, a small business. We know that small businesses access legal advice a lot less frequently than would be beneficial for them. So if you automate parts of that service and make it cheaper, more accessible, then you expand the opportunity. So there's two sides to this, right? One is actually the benefit of the legal services, but the other is the benefit of the clients. And by expanding, you maybe don't replace all the humans in the legal services side, but you're providing a service that's more accessible to people, and you improve everyone's life or
exactly
business
and I completely agree on that. That was actually the topic of my first podcast with Mauricio Vecchione from the Global Good Fund. And he was talking about a concept called catalytic invention, whereby there were three factors that were really important. And this is about innovation for the bottom 5 billion of the world, the people that can't even think about having legal advice ever. This is about people that are living in Africa, the development countries. So it was about the three A's: accessible, affordable, and applicable. And he says, if you solve the issues that those people have, what you'll typically see is that if you can do it for them, you can do it for everybody. And therefore, it will drive incredible innovation and prosperity for the rest of the world as well. I think this is happening here in your terms in a similar type of way. Because I agree, if you bring the price down, if you make it more accessible, you will expand the marketplace. That's indeed a very important thing. What is Innovate UK doing in order to increase the competitiveness of the UK? And I mean, what do you think you have to do specifically to, for example, compete with other countries around in Europe or maybe in other parts of the world?
So we're, of course, focusing on our own firms that are in this industry, both from the supply side and the three service sectors, and trying to help them to innovate and to deliver services that are more accessible, more efficient and effective, and that in itself should drive their competitiveness. Where, I guess that's the principal approach.
Yeah, gotcha. Which is, of course, an ongoing thing. But there's so many things happening in these spaces. I mean, I've been working with an ISV in the banking space, the digital banking platforms. And what you see is, of course, when you're talking about banks, which is a little different from insurance, but it's in the similar space, is that their whole business is turned upside down, going from being transaction-oriented to now being customer experience-oriented. Do you see those type of changes as well in the sectors that you're talking about here, insurance, accountancy, and legal?
So I expect those types of changes will come about. If you think of an insurance company, I think you can very simplistically consider that it has three main things it needs to do. One is to be able to price risk very well. So clearly, if you have more information or different signals using larger data sets and using artificial intelligence to extract those data sets, you can deal with the probability of certain types of risks better.
Yeah.
The second thing they need to do is their whole back-end operations, so be operationally efficient. And again, automation of various sorts or increasing data usage will help that. But the third one is very much around how they deal with their own customers, right? And if you think of yourself as an insurance customer, you essentially have two points of contact with your insurance company. One is when you first buy an insurance policy, or when you renew an insurance policy, and the second is when you have to make a claim.
Exactly.
And in both cases, people don't really want to do that, right? They want it to be as simple and clean as possible.
Yeah.
So as technology getting into these areas, the claim process can potentially move from being a one where I, as a insurance client, insurance customer, have to go through a whole process of saying this is what's happened, etc., through an automatic thing of recognizing what's happened from bringing data in, through potentially to one that's actually more about predicting possible issues and mitigating against them. So if you start bringing in, let's say, weather data, you might be able to predict that a house in a particular area is increasing its risk of flooding over the coming couple of weeks. So you might be able to inform the homeowner that actually they should take some action to mitigate the issues that they might have. And if the flood happens, before they even get to the point of wanting to contact their insurance company, as an insurance company, you could even be paying them right there and then a claim, or you could be sending people out to help them sort out their house, whatever it might be. So more predictive, more proactive, rather than the reactive nature.
It's all about supporting the moments of truth. Because, I mean, that's exactly what's happening with particularly legal, of course, and insurance. It's the services you don't want to use, but, well, sometimes you have to.
Yeah.
And then competitiveness comes from making it as frictionless as possible.
Absolutely.
I completely agree
and
with
then
that.
Also, if you then go to the other touch point, the initial purchase of the insurance or the renewal, I think no one enjoys having to put in all their information of this is the value of my home, or this is how many miles I drive in my car, whatever it might be. As you have the ability to gather more information, you can step past those things and recognize people as individuals with particular needs without having to ask them every question under the sun. And then again, as you get more personal, you can drive policies that are much more directly targeted to an individual rather than the sort of broad brush. If you work in this industry, then this is your level of risk, so we'll give you a price of this. But you can tailor the opportunity or the products better.
Yeah, that's where data becomes, the oil again.
Yeah,
and that's what you see with a couple of interesting initiatives already in terms of how insurance is dealing with data to, for example, understand how your driving patterns are and your behavior are. Are you driving with the right speed or not? And I mean, there's a lot of things you can learn from data and consequently the services and what you pay for insurance. Interesting. Yeah. So if you, from a governmental perspective, if you could give advice to businesses in terms of what they can do and should do themselves in order to protect their competitiveness without even going to Innovate UK, what could businesses in those sectors do themselves?
So I think the main point from our perspective is to actually engage in looking at these innovation opportunities, right? So if you think of the legal sector, then currently they're set up with a business model that is arguably a couple of hundred years old, with not a lot of changes in that business model over that period of time, which tends to drive a lot of inertia in sticking with what you know. And it's difficult sometimes to argue against people who are very successful in that area that their approach is wrong. Yeah, but the reality is these things are on the horizon. They are going to take effect. Someone is going to use artificial intelligence, increasing use of data, other technologies to deliver a service in a different way. And if they don't get on and think about what that difference might be, they will get replaced. So they need to be engaging with that future looking stuff and setting aside time to do that, which is quite difficult in some of these businesses, because they are set up to bill per hour client time rather than thinking more broadly on what's going to happen in the future.
Exactly. So how do you do that? You know, it's about what you're saying. People have done this all for hundreds of years, the similar way. So the argument is we've always done it like this and we continue to do it like that. How can you sort of bend that curve? How can you change the perspective in the best way?
So it's not an easy thing to do, as you're describing. And in the end, if someone really doesn't want to take that approach and are happy doing what they're doing, then you can't change them. But essentially, it's about giving them the information, making the case studies, showing the opportunity that happens from these sorts of things, and then helping them engage with people that can deliver this type of technological change or can address the sort of more human barriers. So it's connecting them with not only technology supplier companies, but academics that look in this area. So back to the sort of social sciences people, making those connections, supporting consortia of organizations to come together to look at this in a broader perspective. So it's financial support is important, and that's part of what we do, but it's very much bringing the different parties together to understand, explore, experiment in a safe way with different approaches so that they start to feel the benefit of that. And once they start feeling the benefit of that, they naturally engage more.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. It's the diversity that you need here. Yesterday, I was speaking to Christian Goodman from Tieto, who's running their AI department, and he summarized it with three angles to get things going. Getting the right people in the room, one that understands science, one that understands the industry itself, so the business, but also one that understands the impact on society. And I think you've leveraged or you've picked upon all of those angles already in this interview. So that seems a relevant way to get things started. Three people in the room that have those three angles, and a couple of hours later, you got a couple of brilliant ideas.
Probably one of the things I should say is that Innovate UK is my organization, but we're working very closely with some other government bodies called the research councils in the UK. So in particular, we have an Economic and Social Research Council that we're working very closely with on this program, and a research council called the Engineering and Physical Sciences Research Council. So both of those organizations bring one, the sort of societal side of things and connection into academia, and the other is more the computer science side. So together with us bringing the industry support, we're then building a broader package that should look across the whole piece and bring that diversity of knowledge to this.
Exactly. So, looking at one of my last questions, if you could ask anything to the audience, what type of feedback would you like to get in order to help the program succeed?
So, I guess the main thing we're looking at now is, what are the particular challenges that these three sectors need to focus on so that we can support those? So I've described there's the expectation that AI and data are going to transform things, but maybe we should be focusing on specific areas such as maybe fraud prevention, mitigation, identification, or the sort of underwriting efficiency side of things, or should we be focusing more on the customer experience for all these three sectors in the first instance? I think that could be helpful. But then also beyond the sort of fundamental, we need to make sure that the ethics is right, there's no bias in the data, etc. What are specific behavioral problems that these three sectors have that aren't generic to the rest of the use of artificial intelligence and data? I mean, examples I could think of myself are in legal services, how do you deal with the concept of justice when you're talking about a machine helping in making the making decisions or recommending approaches? How do you deal with similar concepts like reasonableness in a contract if you have a machine helping to generate the contract? A well-known problem around machine learning and potentially more broadly for artificial intelligence, the black box explainability problem. What's the real impact that has in these three sectors, and how do you deal with it specifically for these three sectors? Those are the sort of concepts that we need to see what we focus down on in the shorter term.
I can imagine
so that we get most impact.
Exactly. It's going to be an interesting journey to follow once you get the input and once the competition starts for funding and for help. So good luck with that. Where could people go to if they want to find out more about you, your organization, or getting the conversation going?
So if they go onto the gov.uk website, on there you can search for Innovate UK, and you'll come straight to the pages that explain about us. And within that, if you look for a link to Industrial Strategy Challenge Fund, you'll find out more about this particular challenge. But there are other challenges there that also are dealing with artificial intelligence and data areas. So looking at construction and how that might be affected, or clean growth and energy generation, or farming agricultural points, how data connectivity, etc., might help to improve yields or reduce need for fertilizer, that sort of thing. So there's a lot of related areas all under this thing called the Industrial Strategy Challenge Fund. So again, searching on gov.uk for that will bring up those areas.
Okay, and how can people connect with you specifically?
So I have a Twitter handle that's Stephen Browning, all one word, Stephen with a PH. That's probably the best direct way, and people can approach me through that.
Okay, thank you very much for your insights and for explaining the program and what the UK in this case is doing to help that insurance, legal, and accountancy are going to thrive in the future. It was inspiring. Thank you.
Thank you.
It was a pleasure, Stefan. And for everybody else that's listening today to this podcast, thank you for tuning in. I had the honor to speak to Stefan Browning, Interim Challenge Director, Next Generation Services at Innovate UK. The goal of this podcast is to share compelling ideas and showcases to inspire what can be when technology and people blend in the right way. It's my strong belief that too much focus is put on automating people out of a process, in other words, cutting costs, rather than scenarios where the unique strength of people are augmented with technology to change the established rules and to deliver a value that was unimaginable before. So, with this podcast, I want to make a contribution to change this, to create a broader awareness of what can be, to accelerate the adoption by bringing together you, a tribe of like-minded people and organizations, and lastly, to accelerate the initiatives and solutions that could be created because one idea inspires the other. So if you know about stories that are worth sharing, please send me a message. Building the momentum all starts with revealing the ideas, and that starts with you. If you want to have more information, read my blogs, or obtain information on working with me, just visit me on my website, valueinspiration.com. Thank you for tuning in, and you could do me a big favor by rating the podcast or provide me with your feedback. I'll see you shortly in a new episode.